Well, God, we know that the testing of our faith produces endurance, but we need your help. We need your help when we face trials of any kind. When our hearts are so full of sorrow, it feels like they will break. Help us remember that you hold all our tears in your bottle. When relationships are severed and people aren't speaking to each other anymore, bring about your bond, your familial love, the tie that binds. When we feel pushed down and kept down, or when we ourselves are pushing others down, free us from the oppression that keeps us bound. Free us to be your new creation, a new people, a people who know they have been made in your image and all belongs to you. So give us endurance, give us perseverance, give us persistence. Let this endurance have its full effect so that in you we would be lacking in nothing. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, you are the God who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly. You give to all abundantly and undeservingly. You give us the good life, one that is rich and full and colorful, because it is lived out in faithfulness to you. We pray now for anyone we love who might be lacking in something, those who eagerly desire the restoration of health, those who need your provision when it comes to a job or resources, those who desire your wisdom as they try to be good parents or good leaders. You give to all generously and gladly. So we take time now to lift up names to you of people in special need of your gifts as we say these names either in our hearts or with our lips. God, you see each tear that falls and you hear each name that we utter. We thank you. Thank you, generous God, for hearing all these prayers as you so love to do. We offer them to you in the name of the Son you loved, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Well, this morning we are continuing in a sermon series called The Good Life. It's a sermon series where we are asking the question, how do we have the abundant life Jesus has promised us? And if you've been with us over the past few weeks, you'll remember we've talked about different subjects, different things that we need to get right in our life if we're going to live a blessed life. We've talked about things like faith, we've talked about money, we've talked about forgiveness. This morning we come to an interesting subject. An interesting question we can ask ourselves, and the question is this: how do you have the good life when life's not good? How do you experience the abundant blessing God has promised you when you're experiencing hardship and struggle? It's a question we're going to look at today. But before we do, I'd invite you to join with me in a word of prayer. Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Amen. Well, it took me about 2 weeks of seminary before I finally got around to asking my very first dumb theological question. Now, I know what you're wondering. You're wondering, David, why did it take you so long to ask a dumb question? And the reason is because for the first 2 weeks of grad school, I didn't ask any questions at all. But then one day I opened my mouth. Now, we were in a pastoral care class. We were talking about empathy. You know, being able to identify with someone else by, by remembering your own struggles so that you could be emotionally present to someone going through hardship, empathy. Our pastoral care teacher told us it was one of the most important qualities any pastor could have. So I raised my hand and asked a question. I said, well, what do you do if you've never really had anything all that bad happen in your life? I mean, I'm 23 years old. I mean, sure, I might have broken up with a girlfriend or failed a test, but I've never really experienced the same tragedy that you're talking about. So what do you do then? My professor laughed at me. He said, what do you do if you haven't experienced hard times? He said, you keep living. He said, you keep living, and sooner or later, I guarantee that's not going to be your problem anymore. And you know what? He was right. Death, taxes, and tough times, those are the three things that you are guaranteed in your life. If it hasn't happened to you yet, just keep living, because sooner or later it will. Sooner or later, adversity will find you. Sooner or later, some challenge will come your way. That's just the way the world works. And maybe that's what makes our scripture passage this morning so interesting. It's a scripture passage where James is writing to a group of Jewish Christians that are experiencing hardship in their faith. These are Christians who are being persecuted for following Jesus. They are being oppressed for being disciples. They are completely innocent, and yet the burden of the world has fallen upon them. And what kind of advice does James give them? How does he identify with these people who are struggling so much? Does James try to let them know he understands? Does he say to them, dear friends, consider it pure misery when you experience many trials? No. Does James say, friends, consider it pure annoyance when you face trials of any kind? No. Does James try to show any sort of empathy, letting them know that he understands what they're going through? No. Instead, what does James say? He says to the persecuted Christians this. He says, friends, consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, joy, he tells them to experience joy. Now, why would James say a thing like that? What does it even mean? So I still remember the day when the woman came into my office and telling me, I just can't take it anymore. She was young, but she was tired. She said, you know, I know the Bible says that God doesn't give us more than we can handle, but, you know, I sure wish God didn't trust me so much. My husband just left me. Both my kids were just diagnosed as diabetic, and I'm behind on the mortgage. It's just so much for one person to take, she said. I just don't know how one person can handle all of this happening at the same time. What am I supposed to do? I listened to her, but all I could think to say was, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry things are so difficult for you right now. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, James writes, when you experience trials of many kinds. Now, you're not supposed to celebrate when people struggle. You're not supposed to enjoy suffering. So why does James tell us that we should find joy, be joy-filled when we experience the hardships of this life? Why? Well, he says it's because you know. You know the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. You see, James reminds his readers that God doesn't celebrate hardship. Instead, God uses it. We aren't called to rejoice in the trials themselves. Instead, we're called to rejoice in the steadfast love of God that refuses to allow those trials to be wasted. Now think back on your life right now. Think back on all the times when you've grown the most in your faith, when you've grown the most as a person. Did it happen when everything was going well? Did it happen when everything you touched turned to gold? Or did it happen when the bottom fell out of your life? And God was there to pick you up again. And so Joseph was a prisoner to Potiphar, but God used that trial to make him into the prime minister of a nation. And Daniel was a captive in Babylon, but God used that trial to make him counselor to a king. And Jesus was crucified on a cross, but God used that trial to bring redemption to all of creation. It won't be wasted, God says. Whatever hardship you're going through, God refuses to allow it to be wasted. No, maybe the most important question we can ask ourselves whenever we're going through hard times is not the question why. After all, you know, why is a question that rarely has any satisfying answers. In fact, in our scripture passage this morning, James doesn't say a single thing about why we experience trials in this life. No, perhaps the more important question we can ask ourselves in the midst of adversity, whenever we experience hard times, is the question, what? What is God doing in the midst of the struggle? What is God doing to redeem this pain I'm going through? What is God doing to bring resurrection out of destruction and hope out of despair? What is God doing? Because it won't be wasted, God says. God refuses to allow it to be wasted. And sooner or later, it's going to happen to you. And sooner or later, some challenge will come your way, but that doesn't mean you can't have the good life. That doesn't mean you can't have the abundant life God has promised you. And why? It's because through it all, God will still be there with you. God is still in the business of turning prisoners into princes and captives into counselors and Good Fridays into Easter Sundays. No, God isn't there creating suffering. God is there redeeming it. Bringing something good out of the most challenging moments of our life. In his book, See You at the House, an author by the name of Bob Benson tells a story of a conversation he had with a friend one evening who had experienced a heart attack many months earlier. A friend had had emergency surgery. He had gone through months of recovery and was just now getting to the point where he was regaining his active lifestyle. Bob went to his friend and he asked him in almost an offhanded and joking way. He said to him, "So tell me, how did you like your heart attack?" His friend said, "Are you kidding me? It scared me to death." Bob said, So you wouldn't recommend it to me?" And the friend said, "No, definitely not. That's one experience I never want to have again." Bob paused for a moment. He said, "I'm curious." He said, "Since your heart attack, does your life mean more to you now than it did before?" And the man said, "Well, yes." He said, "And your wife? You know, you and Nell have always had a beautiful marriage, but are the two of you closer now than you've ever been before?" And the man said, "Well, yes." Bob said, "Well, you know, you spent so much time in the hospital. Do you now have more compassion with people? Do you have a deeper understanding and sympathy for those that are struggling? And do you feel like your faith has grown stronger and that you've grown in ways you can't even begin to imagine?" And the man said, "Well, yes, I suppose all those things are true." Bob said, "So, well, with all that in mind, let me ask you again. How'd you like your heart attack? won't be wasted, God says. God refuses to allow it to be wasted. Now, I have no idea what kind of struggles you're facing today, and I surely don't know what's going to come tomorrow, and I couldn't even begin to give you an answer to the question, why? But I do know this. I know God is not done with you yet. And I know whatever cross you bear today is the same cross he is going to use to redeem creation. So consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. For you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Consider it pure joy. No, God's not done with you yet. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, we give you thanks for your steadfast love, which guides us through the dark times, through the times of struggle, through the times of hardship. We pray, Lord, that we might always sense what you're doing in our lives, and that even when we struggle, we see the hope we have in you. For indeed, you are a God that redeems suffering, a God that raises the dead. Amen.
We are so privileged to be able to come to this table when we have these tough times and we're facing hardship, and we can bring them here before the altar knowing that God takes a broken body and a poured out cup. God takes these broken things, this brokenness, and makes all things new. Will you turn to page 12 in the hymnals? Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with one another. And therefore, let us confess our sins before God and each other. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and this proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As forgiven people, let's share signs of Christ's peace with one another.